path on the mountain. One pair of hands on the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon. Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valley. The ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands.
Well, greetings everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world tonight. Our series that we've got going here, part two, if you will, of the birthright. Who stole the birthright? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, what are you talking about? Who stole the birthright? Is the question that I would like to involve you and your intellect. We're going to get into some word searches, the Strong's. We're going to dissect and break down the words of our information that we're going to pass on to you of the kinsman redeemer. Now, we're looking for the descendants of the Messiah, the one we call Christ, the Son of the Living God. God manifest in the flesh, in the personage of a flesh body, came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, came unto his own. Now, by the time that he came, did you know that Christ was skeptical, or he hardly ever walked in Judah? If you'll read the Gospel of St. John, chapter 7, verse 1, you'll find that Christ would not walk in Judah. Wonder why. They had something against this man, just like the brothers had something against Joseph, a perfect type of the Messiah himself. And so then, we're looking for kinsmen, someone that was kin, identical in blood, if you will. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, it doesn't matter about genealogy and those endless arguments. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it matters quite a bit if you're looking for the bloodline kinsman redeemer. who he was kin to, who he was associated with. Now, we've got people that believe that Christ was descended from Judah's bloodline. That can't be true. And we're going to cite you a reference in Genesis 38 and tell you that Judah made a grave error when he went down and married a Canaanite and had three sons, one of which survived and went down into the land of Egypt in 46, we'll find that verse 12 would identify that Shelah went down with the other sons and offspring of the house of Israel, and he abode down there with these sons that were there in Egypt in bondage. We don't know how long Shelah lived, but we do know that the whole house down there and his offspring was there for over 430 years. So quite a congregation, according to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 33, or 37 and 38, as it expresses that a mixed congregation, and we'll find out that this mixed congregation, it came from the descendants of Shelah and Simeon, as both of these sons married or took to them Canaanite wives and had sons by these marriages that they had made to Canaanites. The 10th verse, we find that Simeon is marrying a Canaanite. The 12th verse tells us that Judah had a Canaanite son, and both of these sons, as we read all of the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, that they wandered down into Egypt, and they were there for over 400 years with quite a collection of what the Bible describes as a mongrelized or a mixed race. That word mixed is mongrel, with the bloodline that wasn't acceptable into the house of Jacob, as the blood was supposed to have been kept pure, the kinsman redeemer. That's why it's important to find out the bloodline. And there is revelation after revelation. Now, let me read you. I quoted a scripture for you last night. Tonight I'll read it. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12. We're going to find out who David's father was. Now, we know that the Bible is going to reveal to us here that David was the son of an Ephrathite. Now, when you look up in the Strong's, this word, and you'll have to go to a concordance, and or some Bible that's keyed to the Strong's, the word there is 672. And that tells us that Jesse, David's father, was an Ephraimite or a descendant of Joseph. It plainly says that. Now, if that's true, then David would have been an Ephraimite. And Christ, who descended from his blood, we're told, flesh and blood. We're looking for the genealogy and the downline of a kinsman redeemer. And ladies and gentlemen, I have studied this for over 50 years. I've been preaching this for over at least 35 years, 30 probably, and 35 years to be exact. And I have never found one scripture that would indicate some other bloodline other than the blood of Ephraim, descended sons, including David and David's father, Jesse. Now, let me go a little further into the genealogy, and I won't dwell a long time on genealogy. Sometimes I just take that subject, and I have taught that. We have it on our website. I have taught on this quite a few times about the genealogy downline of kinsman redeemer. Here in the book of Ruth, I'm going to give you the same word and the same town that they were from, Bethlehem. Now here it says Judah. I believe the word Judah has been added because there was no, at this time in the time frame, and we have archaeologists that would verify what Pastor Buddy is fixing to reveal to you. Matter of fact, the archaeologist, the chief archaeologist of Israel living today, says that Bethlehem, Judea was not even a town, let alone a city, at the time that we're talking here in time frame. So, really, was he from Judah, or was he from Bethlehem Ephratah, as the prophet declared in Micah 5 and verse 2? It says that the prophecy would reveal, contrary to what the scribes and the Pharisees, remember, Christ said, beware of the scribes. Now you're beginning to see why they lie. That's what they did. And here was the one that knew his bloodline. Here's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, in a flesh body, walking here upon the earth, and he took the scribes and the Pharisees to task on this very subject, and they marveled, seeing that he had never been to school, they marveled that he had all this knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that the Bible says we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge? Well, if that's true, then we must study to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here we find, as we look at the kinsman redeemer, I'll just touch on these scriptures lightly tonight. And since genealogy and a downline is only a small portion of what I'd like to reveal to you, because I'm trying to get you to see that the kinsman redeemer, or the one that had the birthright, was not kin to Judah, but he was associated through the blood of Joseph, Ephraim. And we find in the gospel, we'll read this just in a moment after I leave here, the name of the man that lived in a certain place was named Amalek. His wife's name was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Shiphlon. Ephrathites of Bethlehem. There's that word again, same word that we find that Jesse is from. 672, descendants of not Judah, We're looking for the bloodline kinsman redeemer in close kin. We're doing our homework here. We advise you to do so, to study. Ladies and gentlemen, when I received this information, I was appalled that we have been had so easily by tradition as Judah, and the house of Judah has always put themselves up as the bloodline kinsman redeemer of the Messiah, and today none of the Jews will even accept or acknowledge that he ever came. Isn't that strange? And yet the majority of Christendom accept these as God's chosen people. They deny the Messiah's existence. They say that he came from a whore. They say that he was born out of wedlock of a Roman, and that he was worthy of being boiled, if you will, boiled in excrement. You know what that is? That's what they think of your Messiah. They have no appreciation whatsoever, and yet they get all the sympathy of the Christians that say they believe in the Son of God, but they have been convinced wrongly that this Son of God came from the blood of Judah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not true when you get into the word search. And you come out with the strangest, most mystifying truth that you wouldn't believe, though a man that has fasted and prayed. I've attended many of the festivals. I've learned from some good, strong men, here a little and there a little. And when you actually put all of this great mystery together, you'll find that instead of being accepted, you will be rejected and hated of all people for his namesake, because the world has bought into this false doctrine and deception that Christ was a Jew, and I've offered $10,000 for anybody could prove that, and nobody has ever brought a direct reference from the Messiah himself. He never said anywhere that he was from a Jewish bloodline. And when you take issue with the Christendom, or the average church-going parishioner, most of them sit and park their brain, they listen to what the preacher says, and they have no idea of what the word scepter is all about, or kinsman redeemer. They have no idea in truth and reality, because they've bought into the deception that Christ was a Jew when he was not, and that he was from the blood of Judah, which he was not. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Judah is, if we read here in the book, let me continue just a moment before I get out of the book of Ruth, and let me make one more point. We're talking about Boaz. We're talking about Boaz, and he was from the family of Elimelech. He was close kin to Elimelech, who was from the house of Ephraim, who produced Jesse, who produced David, who eventually, through the blood reckoning, produced Christ. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, bless God, I know that that Solomon was a Jew, and it says that Christ descended from his blood in Matthew chapter 2. Well, let's go to that genealogy report, and let's include, line for line, the revelation of Luke's reckoning. Now, Luke and Matthew disagrees on the descending bloodline of the Messiah. One acknowledged that the blood was from Solomon. Now, let me read you, or just let me quote from memory, I can do that, and save a little time. Let me quote a revelation that Solomon, who was considered to be a wise man, and we find that he is not as wise as we might have thought. Did you know that wisdom, if it's not wrapped in righteousness, that wisdom can be a snare and a trap? Well, that's basically what happened to Solomon. Now, we're going to give you an account how Solomon defiled his blood and his son's blood, just like Judah defiled his blood and his son's blood, and we're looking for the whole blood, or the correct blood, or the pure blood, especially when we get to the Messiah. So Luke gives us a different reckoning than it is given in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew says that we descended from Solomon. Let's see if we did. But King Solomon loved many foreign, here the word in the King James is strange, that's mongrels. Here the New Version identifies them as foreign. And ladies and gentlemen, Christ don't have no foreign blood in his bloodline. As well as the daughters of Pharaoh, he married Pharaoh's daughters. He married women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites, and from the nations of whom Yahweh had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And yet Solomon clung to these women, strangers, foreigners, in love. And he had 700 wives, he had princesses, he had 300 concubines, that's over 1,000 women, and his wives turned away his heart. Now, blood is important here. Blood, wrong blood, can make you think entirely different as opposed to pure blood. And Solomon, when he was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to Yahweh, as was the heart of his father David. Now, if you'll read the account in Luke, particularly the 38th verse, you'll see that David had two sons in his marriage, and the other son is identified there as Nathan. Here we find that David's two sons, one Solomon and one Nathan, is a choice that the Messiah would come through one of those bloodlines. Now, again, what bloodline would you believe that Christ descended from? Do you think he descended from a bloodline that had all this corruption from the blood of Solomon? If you do, then you believe also, like a lot of people believe, and Judah had his problems also, like I have told you here. In verse 31, we have the son of Nathan, the son of David. So now we've got Nathan here instead of the descending bloodline coming through Solomon. You see that? Could you understand, or which one would you prefer, or which one would you choose? Do you believe that Christ was a Jew when there's no scripture to prove it? You've been taught it, you've been made to believe it, and I know I preached it. And I tell you, I preached it strong. But when I did a moral, thorough examination, and when I searched deeper into the matter, I found it wasn't so. And the Bible again says to search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. You can lose your own salvation if so be that you believe a lie to be damned. Now, it's the truth that makes you free. It's a lie that would hinder you, or that would beset you, or it would make you come short or miss the mark. And you can't do that. You got to be right down the line with the identity of truth. And the truth will make you free. So then we see here in Luke chapter 3, verse 31, that Jesse was from Obed, and his father was Obed, and that was Jesse's son, Jesse the son of Obed, the son of Boaz. And we have then the descending bloodline corrected by Luke, in opposition to what we believe that the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, we're going to take a trip over to, if you will. Let's go over to the book of Chronicles. And let's go over, and we'll find the genealogy in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And we find in Chronicles chapter 2, we find something to indicate the bloodlines. We have the bloodlines here in the genealogy of Judah. And in the fifth chapter, particularly, we want to pause right there and highlight it and expound on it for just a moment as we gleam truth nuggets, if you will, the spiritual veins of gold. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. He was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to Joseph. The son of Israel, or the son of Joseph, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. So then, if we read the wrong genealogy, by those lying scribes who did a little work on it because they were trusted that they would keep the word correct. But we find in Matthew, again, chapter 2, that the scribes lied deliberately, we believe, when they were asked by Herod, who wanted to worship the child that was born, and the wise men said he would be a king, and that he would form or create the kingdom of God, that he would sit on the throne of his father David forever. Now Herod, who was ruling in political power, he wanted to find out where this little child was, not that he could go worship him, that's what he said. He said, let me go worship him. What he really wanted to do was kill him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when he asked the scribes, where is it in the scriptures that says or tells us where that this child is going to be born? Well, if we read Matthew or if we read Isaiah chapter 9 and we read the first verse, we find out that the prophecy that he would be born beyond Jordan. Now in Joshua chapter 18, we find that when the division of the land in the fifth verse, Joshua separated Judah and the sons that came out that bore a lot of those strange sons, bloodline. Now, they were good sons from Judah there because of Tamar knowing that she needed to save, and otherwise, Judah would have been completely excluded from the blessings of the 12 sons. But if Yahweh, now we're saying that some of the Jews were good, coming through the bloodline of Perez and Zara. But they have no claim to the birthright. So Judah's sons nowhere in the Bible, including Judah, Perez and Zara, have any claim whatsoever. It had to be a firstborn son to be from the birthright. Joseph came. Now let me prove this. But the birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed over his brethren. And from him came a ruler, although the birthright was Joseph's. Now, let me give you a prophecy and a sure prophecy at this in Genesis 49 that we introduced you to when we started part one of In Search of the Birthright. We go back to Genesis chapter 49. We come to the 10th verse. And it makes an interesting revelation in Jacob's prophecy to Judah. Judah, you are a lion's whelp. Your brothers shall praise you, meaning that he prevailed. He was a big brother. And he ruled over them through authority. And notice this, the prophecy of Jacob was startling and revealing if we see this. He said, the scepter, Judah, you're going to have the scepter with you, and it will be yours until the Messiah, the Son of God, the birthright, the covenant inheritor, the kinsman, it will stay with you until, and it won't depart until the Messiah, the Son of God, comes. Now, if it departed from Judah with the revelation of Christ when he said, "Beware of these scribes and Pharisees from the bloodline house of Cain." In John 8:44, he made another startling statement when he talked to the Jews. They said, "We're not born of fornication. We don't have tainted blood," in other words. You see, the scepter is just fixing to depart with revelation. It departed with the truth. And yet, those that's deceived has never permitted this to part or to pass from Judah over to the rightful owner, which will be the Messiah, the Son of the Living One. That will be Christ. In you, the hope of glory, the birthright redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, the one without a flawed blood. Judah had flawed blood mixed with Canaanite, so his sons were blooded that descended from Shua, from the bloodline here in Genesis 46 and verse 12. Now, these sons are not permissible, although they became men of renown. The brothers will praise you. You see, the Pharisees and the Jews prided themselves in knowing a lot more than the northern tribes. They looked down their long nose at these Galileans. They would not have them in their midst. They was too good, or at least they thought they were, as they rejected the Messiah because he would not cow down or cater to them. And his message to them made them angry, and they literally plotted to kill him. And Matthew chapter 26, the first five verses, will tell you so. And that's why we get the second Passover revelation right there in the book of Matthew chapter 26, where we believe that the Canaanite Jews knew that he wasn't bloodline affiliated, so they wanted to kill him and inherit his promises and his blessings, and that's what they've done. They killed him, and they essentially took over through deception. Now remember, the Bible said that the scepter would depart from Judah when the Messiah came. That's what got them angry. When he said, "Your father is the devil," John 8:44, "Your father is the devil. He was a murderer and a liar, and there's no truth in him." So then, the scepter departed by the one that came, and he was a Galilean, by the way, not a Judean. In John 7:1 again, he even refused to walk in Judah because they had a death warrant. For sure, they were against him. They weren't for him. They were against him. And Herod says, "I want to worship him." When in reality, he wanted to kill him. And listen to the lie. The Pharisees and the scribes were questioned, and they said, "Where is it in the prophecy that's going to tell us where he's going to be born?" Now here's part of the deception. The city has been changed, and the deception is powerful. Unless you are anointed, unless you are chosen before the foundation of the world with the Lamb's book, the Word will not benefit you. If you are a believer and you know the truth will come to you and it will give you the power to separate yourself from the world and from those that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars and murderers, and they never abide in the truth. They quoted Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but they didn't tell anybody where it said, because they said they didn't mention the prophet specifically. They didn't mention the verse of Scripture specifically. And it's right here, and if you go to it, instead of the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, Judea, like the scribe said, he reveals that he's going to be born in another Bethlehem, and it's going to be Ephratah. Well, we find in Genesis 35 that at the death of Rachel, the mother of Joseph, that was the chosen birthright son, that she is giving birth to Joseph's brother, Benjamin. And she dies at Bethel, not far from Ephratah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's north. That's up in the northern country where it's reported that Christ was raised at Nazareth, which is only 7 miles from the place that Rachel, their mother, died and was buried. Now, the Jews have got him over next to Bethlehem, Judea, got her over there and got her grave, and it shows where she's buried. I doubt she's there because it's not the same place that the Bible says. They're liars and they lie. Matter of fact, if you want to go see where Christ was baptized, they changed that 3 or 4 times. They do it for money. They love money. And they're the world's worst liars, and they would deceive the very elect if it's possible. Our website that you could go and find this information already preached many years ago with more revelations than I'm giving you because I'm just skimming the top. I did go in depth with series. I think we've got several series, sets of series on genealogy, bloodlines, and birthrights already recorded with this strange doctrine that the scepter will not depart until the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who was a birthright son, he was not from a Jew or a Canaanite affiliation. He was from the blood of Joseph. And you'll find that the series and the articles that I'm talking from tonight, you'll find it located One, O-N-E, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, OneYahweh.com. That'll get you to our website. You'll find my information there, my telephone numbers, my contact. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. by history is to show that the Romans were in control of Israel at the time of Christ. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem and all of its inhabitants that resisted them. But the Jews kept the scepter to themselves through deceit And Joseph was given the birthright. We know this. The word birthright only occurs 10 times in the King James Version Bible. But it's self-explanatory. Under the law, the firstborn was to be given to Yahweh. Joseph became the firstborn, although he was the 11th son. And Yahweh accepted him. Ephraim was the descendant of Joseph. And the statement is made that Ephraim is the firstborn, not Judah. So the birthright belonged to Ephraim, Joseph. He was the son of Jacob and Rachel, given the distinction of being the firstborn because of the default of Reuben, who sinned, and the birthright was given. And I just read you that in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Judah prevailed to rule over his brothers. In other words, he took the birthright authority and he ruled until the Messiah came, who brought the truth to this message tonight that Pastor Buddy has given you. Christ took the scribes to task and warned them when he said, "Whose son am I?" When he asked that question, he wasn't just doing it to exercise his lungs. He wanted to know who everyone believed he was. Nobody in their right mind, spiritual mind, believed that he was a birthright son from Reuben, let alone from Judah, the fourth son. Did you know that Judah himself disqualified himself, just like Reuben disqualified himself, by having mixed his seed with a Canaanite? We find these three sons, like I say, the first two were evil, and Yahweh killed both of them, if you would like to really know. Yahweh, did Yahweh murder them? Call it whatever you will, he killed them. They met a terrible end. And Judah, fearing that Yahweh would kill Shelah, hid Shelah from Tamar to keep him from marrying Tamar, and that displeased Yahweh. And so then the genealogy or the birthright would have had to be changed. Normally it came from the firstborn son. Well, from the marriage of Rachel, which is the only marriage that Yahweh recognized to be Jacob's wife. He chose her, and he chose her firstborn son, which was Joseph, and he made Joseph the firstborn. And boy, did that ever throw a monkey wrench in people's understanding when everybody has accepted that Christ was a Jew wrongfully. He wasn't. He was a descendant of Joseph through Ephraim, the birthright king of Israel. But the Christians and the Judeo-Christian church believe that Jesus is a Zionist Jew, which he was not. And so then, the battle goes on for the mind of man. And here we are, exposing the one they call Jesus in the New Testament. He was an imposter, and he's a fabrication, if you will, And he belongs to some of this deception that is going on in the New Testament. Like I told you last night, the Roman Church brought the Greek Latin name of Jesus into the mix. And we know from the Messiah's teaching that he had a Hebrew name of the Father. In John 5:43, again, let me remind you, he said, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not." Jeremiah 31, verse 9, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Ladies and gentlemen, if we look in the gospel of the prophecy to Joseph, in 49, 22 through verse 46, from there is the shepherd, the stone prophet of Israel. So when the Messiah came, he was the stone shepherd, and they rejected the stone. If this stone falls on you, it will grind you to powder. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the stone of understanding, don't stumble at it, but hear the word and let Yahweh bless you. Yahweh is the King throughout eternity as the firstborn from the house of Ephraim, and the Ephraimites that I give you in the bloodline descended. We could go into scripture after scripture after scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong tower. The name is. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Let's come back to Strong's number, 672, and understand it's a descendant of Joseph Ephraim. Go to our website. Again, let me remind you, I'll see you Saturday night on 5890. At 11 o'clock, and if you're listening to us on internet, it will be on Transponder 4 when you click on WWCR Listen Live. May Yahweh bless you, may Yahweh keep you, and may Yahweh give you understanding of this strong meat, of whom the world is not worthy to receive. But I have been chosen by Yahweh to be a voice in the wilderness as was the Messiah himself. And for those who are sitting in darkness, veiled with the treachery and the deception of those that call themselves Jews and are not, that Yahweh could give you understanding and knowledge of who the Messiah is. May Yahweh bless you, may Yahweh keep you, and may Yahweh watch over you. Now quickly, that would be Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you here on 5890 Saturday night on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you.